Just like you, we're all about sports and the things that make sports great, like beer and wings. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
I'm Craig Sheeman with Pete Shepard. It's Sheeman and Shepard on the Sheeman and Shepard Radio Network, 770 AM, 104.3 FM, and 101.5 FM. July 2nd, we add 98.1 FM to the mix. Tell all your friends about it. That's what ESPN Southwest Florida is. We are keeping an eye of the leaderboard. Brooks Koepka on top, minus 4 through 11. And he has a one-stroke lead at this particular time. We'll get further details.
Big story breaking out of Chicago since we were talking about the Bears.
Chris?
I have not.
They've made a strong statement that they will consider moving out of Soldier Field days after the mayor of Chicago, the mayor of the Chicago suburb of Arlington Heights, said the Bears might move to a city. The Bears confirmed they are considering buying the Arlington International Racecourse, a stadium-sized property about 30 miles from Soldier Field. I'm looking at it right now. It's huge. It's a beautiful racetrack. Huge piece of property. So
it says, don't do it.
Bears President Ted Phillips said, "We recently submitted a bid to purchase the Arlington International Racecourse property. It's our obligation to explore every possible option to ensure we're doing what's best for our organization and its future. If selected, this step allows us to further evaluate the property and its potential." Now, one little catch is that the Bears' lease with Soldier Field runs through 2033.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
No, us Chicago natives, we like the stadium in downtown.
You've never been out of Southwest Florida.
Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot has acknowledged that the Bears have valid concerns about Soldier Field. Lori's an interesting, her honor is an interesting character. Interesting person.
Yes, she is. We'll just leave it at that.
But they wouldn't explore this possibility if they knew they couldn't get it done sooner rather than later, in my opinion. I mean, they're not going to wait 12 years if they make this move. So there's ways you can, you know.
The Bears not alongside the winds of Lake Michigan.
30 miles away.
I can't imagine it.
They're 30 miles away.
Well, you don't get the breeze off of Lake Michigan 30 miles away like you do there.
Yeah. You don't get fog in a playoff game either. Well, that was a long time ago, but still.
Yeah, nevertheless. Probably not.
Was that one of the funniest days ever?
Oh, it was unbelievable.
There's nothing you could do.
It was one of the fun. You know, I like.
I didn't think it was very funny.
You
because
alive.
It was pre-1990, if I recall.
Yeah, he wasn't alive.
I like turning on games and watching, oh, wow, there's 4 inches of snow on the ground. Or, wow, there's so much fog, I can't see the other sideline.
There was some rolling Madden right during the game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I remember John.
You had no idea what was going on.
I think it's caught. And then you'd see, it was like guys running through a tunnel when the fireworks, and all of a sudden you just see somebody, you know, just appearing, running down the sideline.
Yeah.
That was just bizarre, because that didn't start that way. It just came in.
Nah, rolled in.
Man, that was something.
All right, well, speaking of the Bears, we'll hear from Matt Nagy and Brian Flores of the Dolphins, among others. A little NFL news to get to. Spent a lot of time talking about the NBA last night and the collapse of the 76ers and their 26-point lead.
6-for-3 says, you mean Mayor Beetlejuice?
Like I said earlier, I'll just leave it at that. Time now for a SportsCenter rundown at 7 minutes past the hour. Here's Chris.
Round one of the U.S. Open from Torrey Pines, and Brooks Koepka is atop the leaderboard. He is at 4 under. Patrick Rogers and Xander Schauffele are at 3 under. Currently, Phil Mickelson 2 over through his first 9. Same score for Tony Finau. Justin Thomas and Colin Morikawa, a big group at even par tonight. On ESPN Southwest Florida, we got the Nets. They're trying to punch their ticket to the Eastern Conference Finals tonight in Milwaukee. Coverage starts at 8 o'clock.
I'll just quote myself from when we did our picks yesterday for golf. When is Brooks Koepka not really a factor in a major? And that's why I picked him in that segment. And now he's on top of the leaderboard. Craig Redigan.
I have him too.
Who
We picked Koepka.
Who argued against you?
You did.
No, we didn't.
I didn't argue.
You started spewing all the majors that he wasn't a factor in.
You asked a question. You said, when is there a major that he's played in where he hasn't been a factor? And I said, factually, the Masters when he missed the cut. There was no disagreement. I'm with you. I've got a futures bet on Brooksy to win the whole thing. I'm rooting for him.
Okay.
So am I. And looking back at our...
Again, you guys just hate it when I'm right.
No, you make stuff up.
I picked them in the picks.
It's not how I remember
And it. I went with John Rahm, who's not even on the course yet.
I know. I have...
You'd be a horrible witness in a murder case.
Oh.
It's so convoluted up there, and you'd make a story up to fit your narrative to make you look like the hero that the case would get thrown out.
No, because I'd have to go back and reread the testimony. I have John Rahm in group one of our Sheeman and Shepherd fantasy thing, and I have Koepka in two.
You know what? I got a soccer game
to watch.
We
all have Koepka.
Hold on.
Yeah, Koepka, give me a breath. I have over 2.5.
Koepka just overshot the cliff on the par three. He launched it over.
Mm. Well, that's not good.
That's bad.
It's a penalty.
Is it out over the hazard line or is it before the hazard
line? I'm
going
to say it had enough juice to get over that line. And then, besides, it's a downward, it's on the side of a mountain. All right. I got to tell you something.
Keep me up to date.
My mic's off. Don't worry about it.
No. But I'm going to tell the audience.
He looks like he's having a cross between a conniption and a stroke.
It's a penalty. It's clearly a penalty.
Are you talking about soccer or,
golf? Yes, I'm talking about soccer.
So tell me Holland's going to score in a minute. / the Netherlands.
Well, VAR is looking at it.
Here's the deal. I walk in here today and I stick my head in Chris's studio. He's got a soccer game on one monitor. He's got the U.S. Open in another.
I like
These are his two favorite things. I said, you look like you were in hog heaven today. You just happy as a clam. And he was.
I'm so happy today. These are the days I live for.
Sure.
Daytime sports. They're the best. And this is why I like the U.S. Open or any major championship out on the West Coast. Penalty!
Especially after an hour.
Boom!
Especially after an hour and a half fog delay.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
It makes it even better.
There's that.
What an approach shot that was by whom?
That's by Thiega, or whatever that guy's name is. Don't know who he is, but he just stuck it next to the hole. That's pretty good. All righty.
I didn't see it, and I don't trust your pronunciation of
it. I fully admit, I don't know. It's
T-H-E-E. Tigala. Sahith Tigala.
You're adding an extra syllable.
He's an American, by the way. Hate to break it to you.
It's not Thiega.
I'm pretty sure it's a name from
Tigala.
India or thereabout.
Tigala.
He just said he's an American.
Well, he's from America, but he could be like a first-generation American and still have his family name.
Okay. Yeah. I'll allow for that.
Actually qualified in Houston.
Good.
Best collegiate golfer.
You know what?
2020.
Good to see us on the same page for once.
That's right. We're good. We're not fighting each other.
How does that feel?
Fine.
It feels great.
It means you're right because I'm the voice of reason. If you're on the same page as me...
From Pepperdine, by the way.
Lovely
Pepperdine,
campus.
All-American.
Not too far from.
Lovely campus.
I still don't know how you go there and graduate on Malibu Beach. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah. It's nice living if you could do it. Yeah.
Goal.
That's one. What's Netherlands that, first 5 minutes?
Netherlands up 1-0 on Austria in the 11th minute.
My head hurts. We got like three different conversations going on.
Keep up, Craig. Right. Keep
Chris,
up. Come on.
You start yelling at a penalty. I'm looking at a penalty shot by Brooks Koepka, but you're looking at a penalty shot, a soccer game.
No.
Nobody knows what the hell's going on.
I get the confusion there.
Thank you.
I get the confusion.
Yeah, because
absolutely.
Koepka launched one over the red line there in the back.
Here's what I want to hit. Talk about confusion. Will Coach Mike Budenholzer put Antetokounmpo on KD tonight for the majority of that game? Has he learned from one of the dumbest mistakes of all time? I mean, I don't understand how you don't put the defensive player of the year, former defensive player of the year, and first-team defensive player, first-team all-NBA defensive player on him tonight. The Bucks are 6-point favorites. Milwaukee, 6-point favorites at home tonight. Do you trust them to win this game tonight?
No. Well,
I don't.
First of all, I do put him on him all night long.
Or at least 90% of the time. To only have him on him basically twice last time, where KD was 0-for-2 all in the first half, and then not to have him guard him at all in the second half is absolutely one of the worst coaching decisions I've ever seen.
I don't think it'll happen. I don't think he'll do it.
And how do you not do
I
it,
never
though?
Call for coaches to be fired because that's not my style. But if he doesn't make that adjustment tonight, then sorry, you're going to lose the game. You're going to lose your job.
And that is with Milwaukee loses that game, bad coaching, Harden playing a whole bunch of minutes, most of the games, and shot 1 for 10 and 0 for 8 for three-pointers. Because I really didn't need it. He was out there to facilitate more than anything else, and I thought he did a real – I thought he maybe was one of the most underrated players in that game because I don't know if they win that game if he's not playing.
By the way, what's Harden's status now? Did he kind of shoot his hamstring there? Is he going to be able to go?
As far as I know, he's playing. Yeah. I haven't seen anything for the contrary of your career. I haven't seen anything.
I have not.
Remember, we talked about this out at the ballpark on Tuesday before game five. The role players now, you know, it's home court versus away court. If you have your Milwaukee Bucks players step up, the Chris Middletons of the team, you know, and guys like Joe Harris or whatever, they continue to struggle.
And Jeff Green was outstanding.
Does anybody expect Jeff Green to go for, what, 27?
No, but no. He doesn't have to. But on the other hand, like, and, you know, does anybody expect KD to go for 49
for 50,
again?
No.
If KD could have the same type of phenomenal game and had 40 points or 39 points, guess what? Milwaukee wins. They win.
No, I like Milwaukee.
All you had to do was play a little bit of defense on him at all.
I like Milwaukee too.
Do you?
Yeah. I mean, look,
cover?
Home team is, well, 7?
It's minus 6 or
minus
7.
Minus 6.
Yeah, I got 6.
Yeah, I'm fine laying that. I mean, they've won both games in Milwaukee by 20-plus points.
Yeah,
I mean, they blew Brooklyn out in games 3 and 4, and but, I get it, Harden wasn't on the court for that, but they had Kyrie for half of one of those games.
I don't trust them.
The home team has won every game in this series.
I'm not talking about winning.
And pretty convincing.
I'm talking about covering. Yes, you're right. But
it's a big difference.
But it shouldn't have been as convincing as last time. What should have happened? You know, with Milwaukee. You know, and I warned everybody. Everybody's going to say, "Oh, they just have to show up on the floor," and all of a sudden they're going to. No, it's not that simple.
Nope.
I think Brooklyn smells blood. I think the Bucks are. I think this is going to be a nip and tuck game. To be honest with you, I don't know.
6 seems kind of big.
I don't know. All right, we'll get back to that in a minute. Let's do a little football here. Let's hear from Brian Flores, the head coach of the Dolphins. Remember, a couple days ago, Tua was spraying interceptions like he's Doug Peterson of the Bills back in the day. 5 interceptions in a practice. Here's Brian Flores explaining it away. He's okay with Tua forcing these throws.
I think practice is a time where, you know, not just at the quarterback position, but at every position, you test the waters and see what works, what doesn't work, so that you can make it, you know, go back, learn from it, make adjustments, and try to improve. I think that's the same for us as coaches. I mean, there's been many times where I say, hey, I want to see what this blitz looks like, or I want to see what, you know, this coverage looks like, or let's see what this pass route looks like, or what this, you know, punt fake looks like against a certain, you know, defense. And then we come back and say, we probably shouldn't do it that way. We should do it this way. I think that's the case for any position.
All right. I guess I don't like him forcing interceptions, but that's okay. It was one day.
Yeah. Much better yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it down.
5 touchdowns, 0 interceptions yesterday.
Yeah.
That's a good ratio, Chris.
That's good ratio. Yeah. That's really fine. Good. Yeah. 5-0.
Yeah. All right. Here is Lamar Jackson. He's still hasn't got his contract yet, but about to be paid. But he's focused now on being a better deep ball passer.
We've been working, not just me, all the QBs and, you know, the receivers, we've been getting together and trying to make that a big emphasis for us this year. You know, people always saying, you know, we throw short intermediate routes and stuff like that, little 5-yard, 10-yard routes. But we had some chances last year. We hit some of them. But we're just trying to be more consistent this year. And that's what it starts happening at. You know, it starts in practice and hopefully it transitions to the game. Just got to keep working on it.
All right, here is John Harbaugh on Jackson, knowing that he eventually will get that contract to be paid big.
Lamar's confident, and Lamar understands what's important. I mean, Lamar's going to, you know, look what he's done. He's going to get paid, you know. He knows that. The question becomes is what's he going to do, you know. What's his legacy going to be as a quarterback? That's what he focuses on. That's what's so great about it. The other thing is a done deal, okay? Okay. Is it this number or that number? I'm sure the agent, you know, he doesn't have an agent, but I'm sure whoever's, you know, I'm sure that matters at some point in time, but really, does it really matter in the big picture? You know, it's going to be great. The question is like, what's his legacy going to be as a quarterback? And that's the great thing about Lamar and why you have so much confidence in him is that's what he focuses on. You know, you focus on that, all the other things tend to fall. Be great at what you do. You know, someone's probably going to want to hire you to do it.
Is he his own agent on this deal? I hadn't heard that before. I know some players do it.
Yeah.
Like Richard Sherman and all that, but I guess he's his own guy, huh? All right, here is Baker Mayfield. He doesn't have his contract extension yet, but he's cool with it. Here's Bakes.
It looks really great. You know, after seeing him run and really just talking to him as well, he feels comfortable. He's still getting used to some of these cuts and certain, you know, motions. But, I mean, you're talking about 7 months since the surgery, so it's pretty impressive how quickly he's come back.
That was my bad. I was conflating something I read before the show about Baker.
I'm looking at it.
The actual quote was about how Odell Beckham Jr. looks really good. Chris, I'll shoulder that one.
Poor Bakes.
My bad.
I think I actually have that cut.
Do you? That's okay. We'll move on. Here's Coach Zimmer. The Vikings. The skull chant. He warns that his unvaccinated players will have a little bit more difficult time with restrictions.
We're just trying to educate these guys. You know, they have to make their own decisions. The unvaccinated players are going to have a harder time in the season. They're going to be wearing masks. They'll have to social distance. You know, they'll have daily testing. They won't be able to go home for bye week. They'll have to come back here and test every day. When we go on the road, they won't be able to go out to dinner with anybody. They'll have to travel on buses differently, travel on planes differently. So, you know, the meetings will be, you know, a lot of the meetings will be virtual like this is here. And so there's not only the safety part of getting vaccinated, but as far as being part of a football team.
That's Mike Zimmer.
I didn't know all that.
Yeah.
I didn't know about the traveling separately in different meeting rooms.
Well, I said that yesterday.
Still clamping down.
Hey, you say a lot.
I mentioned that one of the quotes, it's going to be a very long year for a lot of players who don't get vaccinated.
Well,
they're going to be
isolated. I heard that.
But now we got the details.
I didn't know the details surrounding it.
It's going to be a grind.
I actually had them, and we never got to go through them, unfortunately, because I forgot to bring it up. But I had the whole protocol of players who were vaccinated, players who were not. We never got to it.
I got it.
But.
All right, let's get to Matt Nagy for Bears fan over here.
Bears down.
I don't see him on this list.
No, we're adding him. We made him add him. What's the first one? Talk about his depth chart at quarterback, where Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles is number 3, Justin Fields 2, QB1 Andy Dalton. Let's hear from Matt Nagy, please. That doesn't sound like Matt Nagy.
That sounds about
right. That's how the Bears season.
I'm taking a little bit of time here to say this because I know that these questions could go on and on each and every day. But out of just politeness from me and respect, as we go here moving forward, I'm just going to – like I'll give you updates as we go as to how the guys are doing. But as far as the depth chart goes, this is where we're at with Andy as the 1, with Justin as the 2, with Nick as the 3. But all 3 of those guys know that you need to produce, you need to play well. You need to compete. You need to be the best quarterback you can be. And then it's going to be really pretty easy for us to be able to see who that is and how that goes.
Okay.
I still don't understand why you make that proclamation. And he did it a month ago with Andy Dalton. Why do you felt you have to do that to the media?
I'm with you 100%.
I don't understand you make that. You know what you say who's starting the Thursday before the game? Or even if you want to say game time decision, why would you let on that Andy Dalton automatically is your starting?
And that's what that's what he just said.
That's your coach.
Don't get us Bears fans started on Matt Nagy.
So hilarious,
it's unbelievable.
Bears fan.
I'm telling you,
I can't do it.
Will they play week one?
The Rams Sunday Night Football.
Oh, God, you're going to be 0-1. And you're going to come here crying.
That's okay. That's okay.
Well, it might be a blessing in disguise. If Andy Dalton stinks that badly in week one, you know, then maybe Justin Fields gets in there.
Justin Fields starts that game.
Hold on. Is that a road game?
Yeah. Yes. It opens up SoFi.
See, I'm waiting for that first bad quarter of Andy Dalton in front of the fans at Soldier.
Although Los Angeles, Chicago's got a pretty big fan base across the country. Might be like, you know, there'll probably be a good Bears presence. Us Bears fans travel.
There should be, because that is the first fan-allowed home game at SoFi Stadium. This has been brewing for 2 years. That place should be packed full of Rams fans.
Underappreciated L.A. fan is going to come early and make
early,
a lot
I can't,
of noise.
I can't agree with you on the early.
Well, it's Sunday. There's no traffic.
Well,
and it'll be an 8:30 kick, so or 8:20, so it'll be 5:20 out there.
Yeah, but yeah. Still.
It's a good time on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah,
is it?
Rush hour happens Sunday's 6.5 days a week out there.
Except Sunday afternoon.
Sunday afternoon, you can kind of get
Sunday
around.
Morning?
Yeah. You can zip around pretty good down the 405 on a Sunday morning. That's about it.
Mm. And with having done it only once, that was the only day I felt like I was there 3 days in that area about 7 years ago. And
yeah.
That was the – and luckily on the Friday afternoon was – I only had to go 2 miles.
And I bet it took you 40 minutes. It can.
It was horrible, but it wasn't, you know, gridlock.
Yeah. Well, then you were lucky.
I was very lucky.
I had a policy. Never be on the 405 at 4:05 p.m. It just doesn't work. We have one more cut for Mr. Nagy?
Yeah.
Oh, let's hear it.
Wow. Went all out.
These quarterbacks, all three guys, just because they're in that spot right now, we've explained, and I specifically have explained to each one of those guys, that you're doing everything you possibly can to be as competitive as possible and be the starting quarterback and the best quarterback you can be for the Bears.
I feel like Chris is more locked into the Matt Nagy soundbites than he was the Brian Flores.
That's because I know my Dolphins are set at quarterback this year, and that's not what Matt said yesterday. Matt said yesterday on this program that he cannot envision any scenario in which Justin Fields becomes the starter week one. Am I wrong?
Well, after your email, he changed
his
mind.
Did I misremember that?
No.
Is there something that changed in the world?
Well, that's from the previous comment where he automatically is given, and he's done it. He gave Andy Dalton is the one who let the cat out of the bag a month ago. He said, I've been told I'm going to be a starter.
He says, I'm QB1, damn it.
He can have the crappiest camp you want. He's still going to start against the Rams on opening night.
Well, it depends what soundbite you want to listen to. Apparently.
Dueling soundbites. Dueling banjos.
But another problem I have with Matt. Bald guys should not wear visors. Think about that. If there's anybody who needs to cover the top of the head, it's a bald guy.
Why not put on some Sunblock 50 on the scalp, but wear the visor to cover the sun from your eyes?
Or wear a hat.
I would tend to agree with you.
Yeah. It's one less step.
I mean, you got to take melanoma seriously. All right.
Especially on the dome.
Now, again, in case you missed it, at the top of the hour, all this Bears talk, but they had put in a bid to purchase the Arlington International Racecourse property to move 30 miles away. I don't know the direction of north or south of Soldier Field, but it's 30 miles.
I think they should build a dome stadium.
The problem, well, I don't know what it, no, they should not build a dome stadium. I hate cold weather cities that build dome stadiums. That's worse.
I hate cold weather.
No, but
Minnesota did it right.
Tremendous advantage for
go Vikings.
If they build a dome, I mean, the NFC North would be three domes and Lambeau.
Well, here's why
they'll put a roof on Lambeau.
Well, think about it though. The lease with Soldier Field does run through 2033, but there are ways to get out of that stuff. I've seen it before. But we all know one thing that is an absolute guarantee, Charles Barkley hit the button, that if you get a new stadium, what happens?
You get a Super Bowl.
You get a Super Bowl. Now, as nuts as it was, and they lucked out.
Not there.
Listen, as much as they lucked out at Giant Stadium or MetLife Stadium a few years ago and beat the Blizzard by a day, if they were promised a Super Bowl, I would think that maybe you're right. Maybe it would be a dome stadium because they had no way you could go to Chicago.
Minnesota never got a Super Bowl.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, they did.
They absolutely did. Yeah.
Minnesota did?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, if they build a dome, then they'll get a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Radio Row was in the Mall of America, and I believe a few of my former Houston colleagues got in a fight between their dueling radio shows.
Oh, that was like 2-3 years ago,
That was in Minnesota.
Was that Patriots-Eagles, wasn't it?
I can't
it
remember.
It might have been.
Yeah. I think it was Patriots.
Might have been.
Yeah.
I know because somebody from my old station made some idiotic remark, a person I did not really like to begin with, and they sent them home and got fired.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. That was quite a lively radio row that year.
Yeah.
All right, coming up, Pete's got an interesting list of Power 5 quarterbacks as we follow their tracking in a college football quiz. We'll have Wikipedia next hour. It's going to be U.S. Open trivia. Since we're starting, we'll keep an eye on the leaderboard. Brooks Koepka on top.
Nope, he came back one.
So tied?
Tied.
How many guys at minus three? We don't know.
I do.
Okay. All right, hold on. Oh, yeah, we'll tease it. We'll do it when we come back.
Patrick Rogers is now your leader at 4-under.
Great tease.
Brooks and Xander are tied at 3-under. Then there's a big group at 2-under.
Okay. The countdown to hurricane season is over with. We're in the mix. It's here. NOAA says 3 to 5 major storms. Don't be caught being unprepared. Get yourself prepared. Call Damon Brist Farmers Insurance before it's too late. You're doing your little checkbox, right? You got your home hazard, check. Your boat out there on the dock, check. Don't forget flood insurance, people. If you don't do that, then if you don't have your flood insurance, the whole thing's messed up. But you can still bundle and save the flood insurance with the home, the auto, the boat. Call Damon Brist Farmers Insurance. He's local, a neighbor, just like you. If you get stuff destroyed by a storm, he might too. He knows what you're going through. He lives here with you. Damon Brist, Farmers Insurance. Give him a call right now, just like I did. Tell him Craig at ESPN sent you. He is one of the fastest growing agents in the entire country, by the way. 239-202-2933. 239-202-2933. Damon Brist, Farmers Insurance. Have you switched yet?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I'm Craig Sheeman with a very frustrated Pete Shepard.
NBC, get a grip, man. Get better camera angles. Every freaking important putt, there's a caddy in the way. Not their fault. It's NBC's fault.
You are not pleased with NBC's coverage.
Again, I'm not pleased with it. The camera positioning sucks. You can't have caddies in the way. It's like,
well,
they have one.
Just remember, every time you get upset with NBC, just think this could be Fox.
Which you're saying it could be worse.
It could be worse.
I agree with Chris.
Well, maybe from an announcer point of view, but from a camera angle.
No,
point
from
of view?
Every point of view. Fox doesn't do golf. They shouldn't.
I'm disappointed so far. I'll be honest. There's some bad camera angles today.
You know what I've actually noticed is the
Zoom tracker.
Well, no, they're doing it,
but it's
wrong.
Yeah.
They're not picking up the flight of the ball. They had a tee shot from Phil a few holes ago. The shot tracer or whatever it was that said it ended up in the right-hand fairway bunker, and it ended up on the left side of the fairway.
Yep.
It's so frustrating.
Well, I mean, it's not the biggest deal in the world.
It is. I know all the world's problems, like world hunger, there's no wars going on. People I'm worried about a camera. No, I'm talking about from because we want to properly report what's going on the show from a professional standpoint here. It stinks that so many of these putts so far, caddies are in the way because the camera angles stink. But anyway.
All right. Let's switch gears a little bit. Pete, you are tracking down a list of former Power 5 quarterbacks and how they rank top 10 for what was it?
I have a whole bunch of college stuff here. A whole bunch.
We'll do that.
Most wins. Yeah. These are active Power 5 quarterbacks with the most wins over top 10 opponents. This is a really good list.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And now, a list.
Chris, did you see this yet? Because I know you monitor my Twitter.
No,
are you
I haven't.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you don't trust him on a list? You think he's going to like spring like the knowledge because he cheated?
So there are actually 13 quarterbacks on this list. Now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of them have one win over a top 10 opponent. One of them has two wins over a top
10 opponent, and one of them has 3 wins over a top 10 opponent. And I think you will never in a million years guess who that is. But let's start with the ones that have, again, these are most wins over top 10 opponents, active Power 5 quarterbacks. Let's start with the ones with 1 win.
Wait a minute, is this a quiz or a list?
Well, it's both, but I mean, it's more of a list.
I thought you were just going to rattle them off.
I'll rattle them off until we get to number 1. All right, how about that?
Okay, all right.
So number most wins over top 10 opponents, active Power 5 QBs, with 1 win, Daniels, Howell, Morgan, Bo Nix, Pickett, Purdy, your future quarterback, Slavis, and... Yeah. And Craig?
Michael Penix.
Yes.
Oh, that's Junior. Michael Penix.
Yeah, Michael Jr. Penix Jr.
Yes. So that's all the ones with 1.
All right. We dominate.
Again, most wins over top 10 opponents. This active Power 5 quarterback has 2, and you know him well. And you'll be mentioning him a lot this year.
Derek King?
No. Nope.
You already said JT Daniels?
Yes.
Okay, so it's not him.
No, it wouldn't be him.
It's a Big 12 person.
Spencer Rattler?
Yes. He has 2.
Spencer.
Now, finally, this person has 3. He has the most. He has 3 top 10 opponents. Active Power 5 quarterback. He's the only one with 3.
I got 1 name, but I don't just want to blurt it out.
We each get 1 guess.
Well, you got 1 more than me because I'm doing math on who who's no longer active, who got drafted, who's left.
I'm going to say Jack Cohn.
No.
Do we mention the North Carolina guy yet?
Yeah, Sam Howell had 1.
He had 1, yep.
All right.
Brock Purdy was actually my guess, but he had 1 as well.
Oh. Then I'm afraid you stumped us.
Hold on. No, you didn't. You never stump us.
No.
Can you give me a conference?
Big 12.
I don't know.
Skylar Thompson, Kansas State.
Yeah. Could have been here a long time.
Skylar at Kansas State.
Been here a long time.
Last year, led a 21-point, remember this? You remember this game? He led a 21-point come-from-behind victory against Oklahoma at number 3 Oklahoma. Wildcats' first ever road win over a team ranked in the top 5. Became the first starting quarterback to win consecutive starts against Oklahoma since Baylor's Bryce Petty did it in 2013 and 14. And, yeah, so he's done... He's got 3.
Okay.
Most recently, that one. That was a biggie.
Then his NFL draft stock is rising.
6'2", 223. He's a senior this
year. Oh, Mel Kiper loves him.
Probably.
Mobile quarterback, out of the pocket, could throw. Great leadership skills. This guy's a locker room guy.
Yeah.
Good chemistry.
Yep.
Yeah, going up the draft.
So, not bad. Now, you ready for...
Long arms, really, really explosive athlete in the pocket. And when he gets outside the pocket, he... Yeah,
and he's smart. His, yeah. He's smart.
Smart. Smart. Smart as a whip.
Checkdowns are good. Checkdowns are good. This isn't a guy that just eyeballs one receiver.
Checkdown Charlie.
Yeah. All right, now you ready for this? Tristan might have to exclude from this, but I don't know.
There's the quiz here?
Yeah, it's a quiz.
Well, you're going to have to exclude what?
Chris.
Why? This is my right-hand guy.
All right. All right. All right, boys. We're going to discuss Nick Saban and his assistant coaches. For today's quiz, can you name, and go slow here, can you name every Alabama offense coordinator since Saban took over in 2007? The only one hint I will give you is there are 7 of them.
All right, Kirby.
No.
Oh, he's defense.
No.
Wait, what was it?
No, the 7 guys who have been Alabama's offensive coordinator under Nick Saban. There are 7 of them.
Sarkisian?
Yes, who's now with Texas.
Daboll?
Daboll, Brian Daboll is another one.
Kiffin?
Lane Kiffin.
Lane Kiffin, that's 3.
McElwain?
McElwain is 4.
Loxley?
No.
Yes, yes, Mike Watson. Yeah, yes, 2018.
He went to Maryland, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's not just throw the no out there so quickly.
Sorry,
huh?
No. So that's
so what do you have, 5 of the 7?
5 of the 7.
Okay, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on.
Last two are very tough.
Well, who was it last year? No, it was Sarkisian last year.
Mm-hmm. Now, Bill O'Brien will be the 8th Alabama offensive coordinator starting this year.
Did they go on to become head coaches? Who's the guy who went to Michigan? The passing game coordinator. What was his name? Craig?
I can't remember his name. He was not successful.
Rats.
I'll give you the year for this. 2012 and 2013. First name, Doug.
Flutie.
No. I don't know. Doug.
Nussmeier.
Doug Nussmeier. Okay.
And then finally, in 2007, this is the toughest one.
07.
07, his first year.
I thought McElwain was his OC the first year.
McElwain was 08 to the next year.
I'm not going to be able to get this one.
You know the name very well. It's a name that... he was a great college player. Then he went on to be an assistant. Many people think he should be a head coach. He was at USC.
T. Martin?
Yes. No, not T. Martin. Actually, no, I'm sorry. I'm thinking that's what I was thinking. Wrong. Bad on my part.
Oh, okay.
But you know that you still know this name, Major. You know this name well.
I can't guess. I wasn't a Bama fan in 07. I got accepted in 08.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, no lifelong bloodline there.
I've never claimed to be a lifelong Alabama fan.
That's weak.
My fandom started when I got the acceptance letter.
Wow.
He's currently the offensive coordinator for the Jaguars of South Alabama.
Oh, I don't know.
I got no shot.
You know him from Texas. You know the name. He was a co-offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach at Texas. Under then Mack Brown. You know the name.
And yet I don't.
And I don't know.
He was a great quarterback, great name in Texas from 98 to 2001.
Colt McCoy.
No.
Oh, it was... Oh, I can picture him.
Had a bunch of records at the time.
This is riveting.
You know the name, Craig.
Apparently I don't.
Just tell us.
Put us out of his mercy.
Major Applewhite.
Couldn't think.
You're right.
You know that name.
That's a Texas name. You're right. You're absolutely right.
It was fun to watch.
I could picture his face, and Chris Sims kept coming to mind, and I knew that wasn't right.
No. All right. We need to take a break from that quiz.
Major Applewhite, Jim McElwain, Doug Nussmeier, Lane Kiffin, Brian Daboll, Mike Locksley, Steve Sarkisian, and right this year would be Bill O'Brien.
All right. Storm season is here, people.
Not Joe Montana, former MLB.
ESPN Southwest Florida is in partnership with Gavin's Ace Hardware, giving away a home generator each month now through October. Register now at ESPNSWFL.com. It's brought to you in part by Aaron and Franklin Engineering. Sheeman and Shepard, we continue on the Sheeman and Shepard Radio Network, 770 AM, 104.3 FM in Fort Myers, and 101.5 in Naples. Coming July 2nd, we had 98.1 FM, ESPN Southwest Florida. I'm Craig Sheeman with Pete Shepard at Sheeman & Shepard. Don't forget, July 2nd, we add 98.1 FM to the mix on the Sheeman & Shepard Radio Network on ESPN Southwest Florida. Former MLB-er has texted in. Of course, we got to hang out with him out at the Mighty Muscles night, the Sheeman & Shepard night. He says, we need to get this foursome together. Me and Craig, meaning former MLB-er and Craig, versus Pete and Chris, and we'll give two aside. No. Does former MLB-er know that I'm about a 23, 25 handicap?
Yeah,
I'm 17.
He's
so.
About 20 lower than you.
Oh, he scratch? I mean.
He's like +3, +4.
Yeah?
I'm at 17. You're giving me 14 strokes.
No, but at 17, you're at a 17. I'm at a 12, so you combine that number. Five, you're at a 29?
Yeah.
29, 4, and 23. You're out of 27, so giving us two is appropriate.
Huh.
Actually, math checks out, according to me.
Two aside, yeah. Well, yeah, four.
Yeah, yeah, okay. No, that works.
All right.
That plays.
I feel like that puts pressure on me
to
deliver.
You're playing with a...
Playing with a partner.
Plus
so.
Three.
All right.
Where is there any pressure on you, Craig?
I got
you think you're going to use your ball once?
Yeah, actually, we'll use it once.
That's a lofty goal. Lofty.
I don't know why you're picking on me.
I'm not picking on you.
It feels like you're picking on me.
I'm a 12. If I played with a 3, I'd say I'm not using my golf ball at all today. We're using yours.
All right.
Wait, are you talking about scramble or are we talking about?
No, best ball.
Best ball, but okay.
You got to play your own ball.
I'm just there for laughs.
Yeah.
No, because you're going to, you know, bogey for par can mean a lot. You can.
Oh, well, if they're giving us two aside, then they don't get any strokes. We get strokes. How about that?
Oh, it's you and I against. I'm looking at the wrong matchups.
Former MLB-er, we got to negotiate. Don't give these chumps anything. Don't give them anything.
I'll take that all day with Chris.
Of course you will.
To a side.
Oh, I just booked my guys' trip to Stream Song today.
Oh yeah. What time of year are you doing that?
We're doing it late August, right before the actually it'll be week zero when we're up there. So
I believe you're allowed to use a cart that time.
You
of year.
Are. Yeah. I've looked into it.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not walking. You kidding me?
Not in that heat.
Not in that. No, I'll die.
It's not the heat so much.
It's the humidity.
No, it's the terrain.
Well.
The terrain is brutal. Well, if you're playing the black course, well, they're all, it's a tough walk. It's beautiful, but the black course, the terrain, that's a tough course to walk. We were there when it was cool.
I got casts like Phil Mickelson. That don't bother me.
Do you?
How many guys going up there?
Just four. It's a little group.
There's one thing I will say that I love about that place, but there's one thing for certain. If there's wives or girlfriends ever concerned about your boy or your man or whatever.
Not up there.
Straying at any case, that will not happen.
So when your man says, I'm going away for a golf weekend, it really is because that's what you're going
to
do.
That's all there is to do. Yeah, or bass fish, skeet shoot.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a nice
get a massage.
Good bar. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Really excited.
I should be. You'll enjoy it. That was good.
Roasting Marshmallow says, great walk in the black. We walked the black. It was an interesting walk, but that was some interesting terrain. And, you know, we had to caddies.
Yeah.
But we had to pull our own golf clubs. Oh, no, they carried our clubs. That's right. They carried
them. I didn't do squat.
No, it was some tough terrain, remember?
What's tough about it is it's so hilly. That most of the hills, you can't see the green from the middle of the fairway because there's a giant mountain in your way. And they got to tell you what direction they hit it in.
It was built on an old quarry.
Well, it's hilly as hell.
Yeah, that's what.
A quarry's a hole.
Okay.
They built it back up.
Well,
the greens on the black course are absolutely gigantic. Biggest greens I ever played under my life. I love it.
No, I'm really excited for this. I think it's going to be a good time.
The greens are the biggest you've ever played, but you were putting from 100 yards out on the fairway, then the big greens.
Yeah, but it was.
I got it close, I got to tell you.
I got it pretty close, most of the time. Quick couple college notes. One person we're going to have to get on, I'm going to reach out to her, is Heather Dinich, because I really like her a lot.
Yeah. Hoosier.
I know we say a lot about our friends in Bristol, but we still have a lot of friends over there. She's one of them who's fantastic. She says there's a lot of conference size egos in the CFP room because, again, they're searching for the consensus and the expanded 12 teams. And then after that, John Canzano, who is a columnist for the Oregonian and also a radio host, said Scott Barnes, Oregon State AD, and the possible college football playoff expansion, quote, the AD says, automatic qualifiers are really important to us in the Pac-12. We need a deep dive on the pros and cons and eight teams versus 12. I do like conference champions being automatic qualifiers. Of course you do.
Of course.
Of All course right. you do. But that should get approved. And then I will tell you, I'm going to give you a quote, and you guys see if you can tell me who said this.
Okay.
Not too long ago. This is about college football. Integrity is the sum of every right decision and every honest word. It is built slowly over a lifetime, difficult to build but easy to tear down. Trying to live a life of integrity isn't always easy, but it is always right.
Mark Emmert.
No. No, that's Hugh Freeze.
No.
That's definitely not Hugh Freeze.
No.
Well, he's changed.
He's working in at Liberty. They don't allow that nonsense over there at Liberty.
He's fantastic.
Probably got phone blocked on 800 numbers over there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was
877.
Herm Edwards.
Oh.
Who said that?
You pay to win the game.
That's it. Pay is the correct word, which I don't care about. As you know, I'm fine with it. In fact, I support it. Arizona State has confirmed publicly the NCAA is investigating its football program, and that confirmation came after reports that Edwards and others within the Arizona State program violated the NCAA's recruiting restrictions during COVID. Now, if this is what this nonsense is all about, it really is. And I don't blame Herm Edwards for this, if these are the allegations. You know what they're talking about?
What?
Reports indicate that a whistleblower within the program has turned over evidence, including screenshots, receipts, pictures, and emails that show all violations within the Arizona State program. The violations being that parents and their moms and dads and friends got a facility tour like they're on an official visit that showed the weight room, the training room. They show you everything. That's what the gist of this is all about. Who freaking cares?
Also, man. Herm's still clean? I was disappointed when this story came out.
That's what basically this is about. The whistleblower said, quote, it wasn't a secret, an unnamed staff member told Pete Thamel of Yahoo. As far as knowing everyone who came into that office, the number is too big, the names are too many. They would bring in parents, their moms, dads, and friends. They'd get a facility tour like they were on an official visit. They'd show you the weight room and training room. They'd show you everything. Oh, my God. What a horrible crime that is.
Earth-shattering.
Horrible.
Shut it down.
That's what this
Death
is all
penalty.
About. That's wow. what this is all about.
I actually feel better.
It's
about
also
it.
Been reported that some people within the program have become disgruntled with former NFL linebacker Antonio Pierce, who's Arizona State's associate head coach and defensive coordinator and recruiting coordinator, and is widely viewed as their apparent to Edwards' coach. Yep. Edwards is 17-13 in Arizona State. But all this brouhaha right now is about because the majority of it is because Herm Edwards. All the humanity, bringing parents, their moms and dads and friends to get a facility tour like they're on an official visit, showing them the weight room and the training room. God forbid. That's what we're talking about here.
All right, 4 o'clock so hour, Sheeman and Shepherd, 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. And the Sheeman Shepherd Radio Network, 770 AM, 104.3 FM at Fort Myers, 101.5 in Naples, and July 2nd, 98.1 FM, ESPN Southwest Florida.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.